Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. And the conversation we're about to have is as heartwarming as it is informational. I do love stories for this because not only are they good stories, nothing controversial here, but this one will put a smile on your face too, I promise. We're going to talk about migrant workers and a win-win collaboration with medical students. So let's begin by introducing three guests to you. Dr. Peter Cronkright is an associate professor of medicine at SUNY Upstate and the faculty coordinator for the Migrant Clinic Program, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Good morning, Dr. Cronkright.
Good morning.
And welcome this morning. We're also joined by two second-year medical students, Mickey Kolisch. Good morning, Mickey.
Good morning.
And Todd Michalis. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Tricia.
Who have both been coordinators for migrant clinics. Dr. Cronkright, tell us about the basics of the migrant program. How did it get started?
The SC HOPE program is a joint venture between Onondaga Health Department and Upstate.
All right. And tell us what SC HOPE means.
Salt City.
Okay,
Health Outreach Program.
Good, good, good. So it's a coordination with the health department. But how did you, what was the impetus?
Initially, we did indigent care in the city at the Civic Center and found out that the county was going out with public health nurses to try to address the needs of migrant workers. In that collaboration, then, we found the need that patients wanted, they had concerns that they wanted to be seen for, and some of them had never seen a doctor. So they approached us if we would go out there, and we started that program about six, seven seasons ago, and it's been very popular with the students.
Well, I have to say that as I prepared this morning, reading some of the literature to prepare for our conversation, I read that the average lifespan of a migrant worker is less than 50 years. I mean, I'm older than that. I would be gone by now. That's appalling to me.
Yes, and it was very concerning to me as we decided to kind of venture out there. But we were able to piggyback off of a program from University of Connecticut. An alumni from Upstate had started that. We had a workshop for that, and we were able to work with the Syracuse Community Health Center to assure that we would have a place to refer the more complex cases.
Ah, very good. Well, this is interesting to me. Tell me who these folks are. Are they male, female? What ages are they? Where are they from?
Well, maybe the students can share that with you. But
okay. All right, Todd, tell us.
Well, the populations we work with are predominantly male, mostly in their early 20s to mid-50s, I would suppose.
Wow.
And most of the people that we saw were either Mexican or Guatemalan here on work visas and in central New York at several different farms over the course of a couple months during the summer. And then towards the end of the summer, a lot of the population we work with were actually Jamaican migrant workers.
They were.
Doing the same kind of itinerant working schedule, but two different cultures kind of facing a lot of the same problems.
Ah, very interesting. Mickey, are they mostly Spanish-speaking then if they're from these countries, and then do all of you students speak Spanish?
The first couple of months was predominantly Spanish-speaking, in which case we needed to recruit translators for each care team. Luckily, we had Todd, who is fluent in Spanish.
Oh, good.
So we had a coordinator who was also Spanish-speaking.
Aha, very good. So the program's been going on for a few years. Mickey, how did you get interested in it?
I actually started out at SC HOPE last year, and it was just such a terrific opportunity to get involved in the community. And between first and second years, we always have the summer off. And I knew I wanted it to be something worthwhile.
And so you took that opportunity to start working on the farms.
Yes.
And Todd, what sparked your interest?
Before I came to medical school, I was in the Peace Corps in Paraguay.
So no kidding.
I worked for 2+ years with a rural Spanish-speaking population. So when this opportunity, I suppose, came up, I was really excited to kind of be able to work with a group of people with whom I had, a history and experience. And so this was kind of right in my wheelhouse, so to speak.
It just fit for you, didn't it? Tell me what happens on a day that you're going to set up a clinic. You have equipment, you go to the farm. What happens from there? Go ahead, Mickey.
It actually depends on the farm. They either have a working house that we set up in, or we set up tents. And when we set up tents, it's actually kind of neat because you can see them going up, and you can see just the progress happening together. And all the students work together to make sure that there are stations for the patients.
And when you say stations, what are you doing at these stations? What, taking temperatures and blood pressures and things like that, or seeing patients? What is it you do in the stations?
Actually, both. Mm-hmm. Usually we set up about four stations, and in which we do the regular blood pressure, temperatures, and we also do the physical exam.
Okay. So now this worker comes to you because he's feeling like he's got some kind of a problem or he wants some kind of a check. Todd, what do you do? Say you discover he's got a problem with diabetes or something that's bigger than just, you know, I have a rash on my hand.
Well, as Mickey was saying, the neat part about the clinic is you come and you see everything get set up, from the physical tents and care stations and exam tables to the whole pharmacy that we bring in.
Bring in a pharmacy?
Yeah. So, and, you know, this pharmacy can happen in a tent. It can happen out of the back of Dr. Conkright's van. It kind of happens where it can happen,
uh-huh.
and which is a really neat thing, because you see this clinic kind of just spring up, you know, in a field or in these packing houses or wherever it might be, and then from, you know, these modest beginnings, you can really do a lot in terms of outpatient healthcare.
That's great. So I'll go back to the question of what happens when somebody's got something you can't take care of in the field. Go ahead, Dr. Cronkite.
Well, I think I can answer that. We have set up a system somewhat that we either can refer them to the emergency room, or the county health department mm-hmm. works on facilitating a referral, usually to the Syracuse Community Health Center, and they have agreed to take the rare case that we're not able to handle in the field.
That's just great. Now, I imagine, though, it would be really difficult. It's not like you can admit somebody to the hospital for periods of time, because they're only here for a short period of time, aren't they?
Well, Mike, that was a real concern to me, but what we found is most of the problems are the same type of problems you and I have in our daily lives. They are basic primary care issues that mm-hmm. we're able to attend to there, and the county health department has set up various systems for ambulatory care referrals that have been a very good partner for us to work with in that regard.
Are you well received by the farmers and the people who allow you to set up in their places?
In speaking to the students, and certainly sensing it myself and other faculty and members and residents that go out there, their gratitude is very apparent. The first few times that we did it several years ago, coming home with a couple cabbages in my arms or tomatoes or blueberries really meant a lot.
Uh-huh.
And you certainly sense that when you're out there.
Oh, that's just fabulous. Are there stories that you'll take away from this? First of all, is this something, Todd and Mickey, that you'll stay involved with as you continue on in medical school?
Yeah, I definitely think I will. As a third and fourth year, you get to come back and kind of play a little bit more of a leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we're around Syracuse as residents, I think it's something that really interests me. In terms of stories that I'd take away, it was just a neat time to be able to talk to people who are entirely outside of your kind of daily experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as a second year medical school, medical student, you can kind of get bogged down in studies and what you have to do for the next test and such. But then to talk to someone whose reality is entirely apart from that it really gives you a dose of perspective.
It's a very important part of life, isn't it? Mickey, how about you?
Oh, I'll absolutely come back as a third and fourth year. In fact, Todd and I will also both be SC Hope coordinators because we enjoyed it so much.
That's fabulous. Do you have stories, things that you remember that stick out in your experience?
For me, it was actually working with the students, because you're bringing together all four classes
mm-hmm.
and you make a team, and it's kind of nice to share experiences.
That's fabulous. Dr. Cronkite, is this something that you accept donations for, your program?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the migrant care program is part of SC Hope,
right?
And SC Hope is registered with the Upstate Foundation.
It is.
So we receive donations from various people through that.
You do. So if people were listening this morning and wanted to make a donation to your program, they could do it through the Upstate Foundation?
Yes.
And they would designate it then for
SC Hope Fund.
Very good. Then we'll make sure we put all of that information on our HealthLink On Air website so people can do that. Anything mm-hmm. we've missed? Anything you'd like to tell us about your program?
I think that the most striking thing for me is to watch the various learners and faculty out there. And being on the farm compared to being in the office, it's really about being there. Mm-hmm. It's like a picture's worth a thousand words. And that to see right in our own backyard the needs that are there, I think it's almost like stepping into a third world country in some way. And yet you see that these people are very motivated to do well. They're very friendly. The patients are very grateful for us being there.
That's just great. And Todd and Mickey, any last words?
I just wanted to give a little credit to Dr. Conkright and the people at the county for putting this migrant clinic together, because I think it is a really creative way both to face some of the health problems in the county at a public level, and then both at an individual level for mm-hmm. the workers who come in, but also give this chance to medical students to interact with a different population and get some clinical experience and some real life experience.
That's excellent. Mickey, any last words?
Absolutely. Todd just summed it up. That was perfect.
Very great. Well, we are so appreciative all three of you being here this morning. Love this conversation. We hope you'll come back and tell us about more experiences.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for having us.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.